Probably should take seats in case somebody takes it from you. All right. Well, we're continuing our study in the book of Proverbs. And nice car. So as we go through the book of Proverbs, we recognize that the way that it is written, the way it is organized, is that it's hard to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, because it's scattered topically. So we are trying to skim through the book of Proverbs and find the different topics that it addresses, and one of them that it comes up quite a bit is work. Proverbs, wisdom on work. So we're going to look at the wisdom of Proverbs when it has to do with work. Now, the view that the Bible has, the view that the writer of Proverbs has on work, is very important for us to look at, because the wrong view of work can lead to disaster. It can lead to disaster. Here's a couple of Proverbs speaking of the kind of the two characters that you'll find in the book of Proverbs in reference to work. There is the diligent, and then there's the sluggard or the lazy. So here's the two. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 says, "Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor." Wow, that's interesting. Proverbs 18:9, "One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys." Now, that sounds pretty dramatic, but the writer here of Proverbs, Solomon here, talks about the fact that when you don't have the proper view of work, you're going to be doing work for the wrong reasons, in the wrong way, with the wrong attitude, and you're going to find yourself with consequences that you're not going to be happy with. And it can get to where you will find yourself at the mercy of circumstances, at the mercy of other people, and you'll find that the things that you're involved with will just fall apart and crumble around you. So it's very important that you look at work in the correct way, that you have the right attitude toward work, and that you approach work in the right way. So here's some things. Work isn't a blessing, but a curse. Now, that's the wrong way to look at it, okay? So if you look at it as a curse and not a blessing, you're going to be in trouble. Because the Bible never looks at work as a curse per se. Work isn't a curse. It was cursed. But it isn't a curse itself. So when you look at cultures all over the world, when you look at different religions, they all have a view on work, but the Bible's view, Proverbs' view on work is very positive, where if you look at other religions and other faiths, a lot of times their view of work is quite negative. In fact, if you look back to the ancient Greeks, the way they looked at work was that manual labor was something to be avoided at all costs, and only people who are losers did manual labor. Touching and working with your hands was not held in high esteem. In fact, you remember that story that one of the Greek fables that they have of Pandora's box, where Pandora opened the box and all kinds of horrible things came upon mankind: disease, war, famine, all these things. And guess what else came with it? Work. Now, that's how they saw work, as a curse, as something that is awful, something that is bad. But before man fell into sin, there in the book of Genesis, we see that God created everything, and it was his work. He worked for 7 days, the Bible says. So God is the one who works. And if he works, it's something that is good. And so when he created the earth, when he created the heavens, when he created the animals, when he created all things that are, He created a perfect environment and a perfect place for man to flourish. So everything about the Garden of Eden was made for man so that he would have the best possible environment to become all that he could be. And what was one of the first things that God gave man to do? It was to work. To work in the garden. To take care of the garden. God said, I want you to take care of this creation. I want you to be a steward over the creation. I want you to watch over the animals and take care of this garden. That is going to be your work. And it was good, the Bible says. So there's something about work that is really instinctive about us. It's a part of us who we were made to be, working. In fact, there are stories and there are studies done on work and how if people have no purpose and no reason for living, work gives them that purpose and reason. And it's interesting that in some places where they put people in prison and they take away the work, you'll find that despondency and hopelessness starts to creep in. Because there's something inside of us that God created us to do something, to contribute something, to create something, to build something, to make something better, to do work. And it's a good thing. So God works. And guess what? When Jesus came to earth, when God came to this world, he didn't come as a king. He didn't come as a philosopher. He didn't come as some person who wouldn't get touched by any manual labor. He came as a carpenter. He did manual labor. He worked with his hands. Paul the Apostle. He was called by Jesus to preach the gospel. But even though he was an apostle and called to preach the gospel, guess what he did to support himself? He built tents. He made tents. He was a tent maker. So work, as far as the Bible is concerned, is something that's very positive. And if you look at it as something that is a curse, you're going to be handicapped because you're not going to be able to discern and to see how life works. You will make decisions that are not wise because work is a part of how life works. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Here's another one. Now, this is, a faulty idea, a faulty way of looking at work. Work is something to be avoided. Something to be avoided. Here's Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13. It says, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside, or I will be murdered in the streets. It's interesting. As you read the book of Proverbs, you see a lot of sarcasm, especially when it comes to the lazy person or the sluggard. In fact, there's another one. I didn't put it in here, but there was another one that talks about the lazy person says he will put his hand into the bowl, but he will not pull it out to feed himself. That's how lazy he is. He only has strength enough to put his hand in the bowl. So there's this kind of ridicule to try to wake somebody up who's lazy. And this one is kind of interesting in that the writer says the sluggard or the lazy person finds reasons not to work. But these reasons have no weight to them. They're silly. It's kind of, can you imagine? Someone says, hey, there's some openings here, or you have a job, and we want you to come work for us. And you say, you know what? I'm kind of worried about being murdered if I get out of my house. The guy's going to go, what? You expect me to really believe that? So the lazy person makes up reasons why he can't go to work, and they have no substance to them. They have no weight to them. They're just an avoidance, a way to avoid working. Another one Proverbs 19:15 says this: laziness or sluggishness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry. Now, what is this talking about? Well, it's basically this. The person who's lazy turns to sleep to avoid the unpleasantness of having to go to work. He wants to escape. He wants to avoid what it would cost or what any unpleasantness that might come from having to work. So he'd rather sleep and starve than to get out of bed and go work. So again, if you have this tendency to look at work as something that is a negative, something to avoid if you can, you're not going to succeed in life, and it's going to be an enemy to you, that perspective on work. Here's another one. Work is used to show how or to prove your worth. Work is how you prove your worth. That's the word. Okay. Work is how you prove your worth. I can't even read my own writing here, but this is another faulty idea about work. Here, this is probably more common to men than to women, in that men find their value in the work that they do. In other words, who they are is tied to what they do. And depending on what they do, they use that career or use the work that they do to give them a sense of worth and value. women don't do it as much, but men do. In fact, when you meet somebody, the first question you usually ask them, so what's your name? And then what is the second question? What do you do? What do you do for a living? Because that's how we decide what they're worth, where they are on the scale. We know where to put them. A lot in society, you know, well, I'm a business owner, and I have a large company. Oh, wow. Yes, I'm a janitor. Okay, well, good talk to go for it, you know, whatever. You know. But there's a sense of looking down when we talk about manual labor. I pick crops for a living, you know, what? See, the Christian looks at all work as honorable, valuable, and good, no matter what you do. And it's not where you find your value. Your value is already set by what God says about you. And he sees all of his creation, no matter what work you do, as honorable. Okay, so if you have that view on work, it's going to play havoc with you because, for instance, I remember hearing about a guy that he worked for, I think it was a utility company of some kind, and he was one of the executives in the company. He was making really good money, and then he lost his job because they were trying to, I guess, cut costs, and he went into tailspin. He became very depressed. Because why? Now he didn't know who he was. And he lost everything he had. And he wasn't able to regain the status that he once had and the job that he once had. And it ruined his life. Why? Because he had a wrong view of what work was and how it related to him. Here's another one. Work is just a way to become rich. It's a way to become rich. Now, you can become rich working, and you can become rich not working too if you have rich people who want to give you their money. You sometimes can have a rich relative who you inherit money from. There are people who, you know, that's how they became rich, is they inherited the money. It wasn't their money, it was given to them. But to look at work as a way just to become rich really cuts off the value of work. Because work that is done just to get money isn't really how God sees work. In fact, you'll find that people who are pursuing a career just to have, you know, money or become wealthy, over time, they feel trapped. You know, how many people have you heard about who are doing this job, but they hate it? But they're going to continue doing it. Why? Because they make good money. And their life is being sucked out of them. They don't enjoy life at all. Why? Because they're doing something they don't really like. The only reason they're doing it is because to make money. And that's not how God says you should view work, as just a way to become more wealthy or more secure, to have a greater position or status. Work is not about that. That's not how the scripture says you should look at work. Now, here's some wise views. You need to have the wise view of work if you're to succeed in life. Here's a couple verses in chapter 10, Proverbs 10, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in the summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son." So here's this proverb. Basically, you look at it, and it's saying this: good things happen to those who have the right view of work, who approach work with diligence, who put their effort and perseverance and effort into their work. They'll have a good return. They could even become wealthy. So, work is a part of how life works. It's how life works. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, it says this: "A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing." Now that's stupid. What a dumb person. It's time to plow your fields and get it ready for planting, but you don't do that. And then several months later, you expect there to be a crop there at harvest time, and you can have food. As though work is not involved. It doesn't work that way. Work is essential to being able to succeed in life, because that's the way work is. It's integral to life. When God created the animals, he didn't say, "Okay, now, Mr. Lion, I want you to take care of this, and Mr. Giraffe, this is your job, and you hawk over there, this is your job." He didn't give them jobs. Didn't give them work to do. And when Jesus talked about how God takes care of this world, he says he feeds the birds. He takes care of the animals. So there's an implication here that work is integral to us surviving, us thriving on earth. It's a part of how life works. And if you don't see that, then you probably will be a person who doesn't succeed in life, doesn't live life to the full. So seeing work as a negative, or seeing life without work, isn't how life works. So a fundamental reality is that if you don't work, you won't do well in life. And there are some people who spend a lot of their time, most of their lives maybe, trying to succeed in life not having to work. But they may survive, because our society will or people around them, or relatives or friends or whatever, will help them to survive. But they won't really find really what life is really about. I was listening to a radio show the other day. I was coming home, and it was Dave Ramsey. And he does a show on finances. And he had someone call him and say, "You know, I want to know what I need to do to be able to retire by 40. Because I have a nest egg of a certain amount of money, and I want to put into place a plan so that I won't have to do any work when I get to be 40 years old." He says, "Well, yeah, well, that's good, but you know, I have a question for you. So, what will you do when you retire at 40?" He says, "You know what? Just a heads up. I have a friend who was very wealthy, had a great business, and became very wealthy, and he retired at age 30. And what he spent his time doing was playing golf, fishing, traveling. But you know, after about 3 years, his health was going down, and he eventually passed away. And I don't know if you've seen this phenomena, but a lot of people who retire, who quit work and retire, they don't live very long if that's all they do. There's something about us that has to have some meaning and purpose and feel like we're doing something other than just occupying space or having fun and doing, because having fun becomes not very fun after a while. There's more to life than that, a pleasure and enjoyment. And so having the right attitude toward work is that you need to realize that it's just a part of who you are and something that you need to do. So here's another thing. You were made to work. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. It says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men." Now, this word here that we see in this verse that's skilled, you can have a lot of different takes on that word in the English, but in the Hebrew, it means someone who is gifted. Someone who is gifted. In other words, God's involved. God gives them an ability, gives them skills to be able to do. He makes them. He makes them and creates them with certain talents, abilities, and skills so they could do certain things. It's all a part of how he makes us. So some have the ability to sing, and then there's some who don't. There's some who have athletic abilities, and then there's some they don't. And it doesn't matter how much they work at it, how much they try, they'll never really be a person you could say that they are gifted at that or they're skilled at that. It's just not part of who they are, how they're made. And others are able to do things that you go, that is amazing. How could you take this right here, which is chaos, and then a couple hours later I come back and it's now organized. And it seems to have order to it and it's beautiful. How did you do that? And it seems effortless for them. Well, God gave them that skill. God gave them that ability to do that. So when we look at work, part of it is that God makes you and gives you abilities and skills, not so that you can sit on your hands, but so that you can use your hands, so that you can use those skills and those abilities as there's an intention behind them. And so God makes you so that you can do work. Here's another thing. Work is a very good thing as far as the scripture is concerned. Proverbs 27 and verse 18 says this. "He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored." So here's a couple things. If you do your work, you'll be able to eat, is what he's saying. That's part of it. But he also talks about the fact that if you do your work well, your master, the one you work for, will be honored. There'll be honor associated with the work that you do. Now, I don't know if you remember in the scripture where we find that God had Moses build a tabernacle. And it was a tabernacle in the wilderness. And it was the place that was going to be a place where his presence would be dwell, there in the Holy of Holies. And it was to be in the center of the camp. In other words, the tribes would be on the outside in ordered, and in the middle of the whole nation would be the tabernacle, which would be the place where they would have their focus, when they get up in the morning, they turn their faces toward the temple and see the presence of God and see where they were going to go. But it was something that was to be done in a very specific way. And God had given instructions to Moses of how this was to be built. And also, he chose different individuals in the nation to build certain parts of the tabernacle, and because they were gifted, because they were given skills. They were skilled at metalwork. They were skilled at crafting things and building things. Now, if you can imagine, these people are gifted, and they're doing their work, and they're creating some things that are beautiful. Let's say that that didn't happen at all, and Moses just kind of pulled some names out of a hat, so to speak, and said, you're going to do the furniture, you're going to do the priest's robes, and in fact, that's what you're going to do, Roger. You're going to sew the robes for the priests, and you take care of the furniture in the tabernacle. You do the walls and the fabrics and so on and so forth. So on the day that we have the dedication of the temple, the high priest comes out, and one leg is shorter than the other. One sleeve it doesn't match the other sleeve, and it's shorter than the other, and it seems to be a mess. And he comes out, and all his guys come out. They look like a ragtag muffin thing, you know. And then you look at the tabernacle, and they try to put stuff on the candelabra, and they can't get the candles to stick because the candles weren't made right. And the whole thing is a joke. And the attention of the whole nation's on this tabernacle. But it wasn't done well. People weren't skilled at doing what they were supposed to do. And so people are not able to worship. They're so distracted by the things that are not working, that they're not going on. You know, they try to put an animal sacrifice and think falls apart. There's a reason why God gives certain people skills so that life can go smoother, so that they can be a benefit to society. And that's kind of what we're looking at here this morning, is that another reason is that God does this is so that you have things done well. It's as though you are an instrument of God to make the world go better. When I was young, I remember my dad would take me through town there in Sacramento, because that's where we used to live, and he would show me different projects that he had been involved with. Why? Because he was proud. He was proud of his work. He did construction, and he'd show me, this is the bridge I built, and this is the project we did, and that's the house up there that I built that house, you know. And you'd see his work. And on the weekends, a lot of times on Sundays, we'd go out and look at houses. We'd go look at custom-built houses. We'd go look at the open houses. We'd go look at the new developments. And we'd look in there. And I know the first time he would come through the door, know what he would look for? He'd look and see if the walls were plumb and see if things were you know, fit right. And then he'd go, not very poor construction. He felt that work was important, and the work he did was important, so that the things that he built were quality, and that people who lived in the houses he built, their house is not going to fall apart a year later. It's going to stand it. I'll tell you, it is going to stand the test of time. Now, it may take him a little longer to build it, but he was going to do it the right way and make sure that it was done well. So, one of the reasons for work is that it's how we contribute to society. It's how we contribute to society. Look at Proverbs again, chapter 10, verse 5. It says, "He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son." Now, this is kind of interesting way he puts this. Notice he says here, the one who gathers crops in the summer is wise, but the one who sleeps during the harvest is, he doesn't say he's a fool. He says he's disgraceful. In other words, he brings shame. He brings shame on the family. He brings shame on the community. He brings shame on society because he doesn't contribute to society. Now, there's a difference here between guilt and shame. Guilt is when you break some rules and when you break some laws and you don't fulfill what they tell you to need to fulfill, then you become guilty. But shame is when you don't do what's required for your neighbor, when you don't do what's right in regards to the community, and that brings shame upon you and upon your family and upon the whole community itself. So that if you as a society are known to not do anything well, what kind of people are you? There's shame upon that group of people because they can't do anything well. The things they build, the things they do, people look down on them. Why? Because there's shame. They should be doing something right. They should be doing something to take care of each other, to build a better society and a bigger, better world. So when we look at this whole idea of community, part of work is to make the world better. It's to serve other people. So that when you work, you're looking for some way to contribute to others. And it's interesting to me how even some of these stories you read in different magazines and online about people who are very wealthy. Maybe they're in the movie business and they've gained a lot of money. They become quite wealthy. Now, what could they do with all that money? Well, they could spend it on another house, buy another home in another place, go on a more expensive thing, or have 100 cars instead of just 20, and you know they could do all that. But a lot of these people who have money and had it for a while, you know what they do? They want to get involved in something that contributes to something, that helps the poor, that does the that helps those who can't help themselves, helps to cure diseases. They put money into these things, and this charity and that thing. Why? Because it gives them a sense of meaning and purpose. Our work should have some connection to making the world better. It's a God thing. That's what God wants you to work to do. It's something that's a calling. He made you to do that so that you can contribute to the world. So if you're looking to do work, you look at something that you feel like my work makes a difference. So whatever I do, the service I provide, you know, for instance, I was talking to somebody this morning, they fixed an appliance for somebody in their business. It was broken. And I don't know if you've ever had something that's broken that you can't fix. Anybody like that? And to have someone come over and say, let me look at that. Yeah, you're really bink, 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 and it's fixed. You go, oh, you're amazing. My life was depressing. Now I feel good about my life. You know, you feel that way about cars. And if you take it to the dealership, maybe not so much. But if someone can fix the car and not bankrupt you at the same time, you feel good because they've done a service. So whatever work you're doing, you look at it from not just the perspective that this is the way I make money and the way I put food on the table and this is the way I survive. No, no, no. I do something much more. I'm helping people. So if I'm a baker, I bake because I want to help people by giving them good food to eat. I've opened this restaurant so they can enjoy food. If you're a musician, I want them to enjoy the beauty of music. So whatever you do, you're doing it to make life richer, make it better for society and the people around you. That's what work is, a part of what work is. So God, here's the things that are not in Proverbs, but I thought it was important for us to close with these couple points here. God made you to work for him. God made you to work for him. God is involved when it comes to work. And as a Christian, God transforms work and says, I want you to partner with me in your work. In other words, I made you to do certain things. Here's a verse that's interesting. God equips us to do work for him. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, have you ever thought that God wanted you to do the work you're doing? God equipped you. He gave you skills. He gave you abilities. And I believe that that's part of what you're called to do. You know, when you're younger, you go, what am I supposed to do with my life? And so you take certain classes, you know, at school, and you could spend a lot of time taking classes at school and find out there's nothing that you want to do. But it is good to try to figure out, and in fact, my daughter did this when she was going to school. She went to junior college first, just to kind of get the lay of the land, and it was cheaper because Pop couldn't pay for it all. So she went to school, and the first 2 years, she was exploring what she wanted to do. And so she took some classes on basically to evaluate her skills, her interests, her abilities, etc., and to narrow down the pursuit of what she might be good at and what she might be interested in. And it enabled her to clarify where she was going to go with her life and in the career that she would take, which saves a lot of time. The point is that God makes you a certain way so that you have the skills to do certain things that he wants you to do. And notice it says he's prepared in advance for you to do. Now, we know that God knows the future, right? But did you know he has certain plans for you and what you're to do with your life? And it includes your work. In other words, there's not this, I go to church, I go to Bible study, I witness to my neighbor, and that's what it means to be a Christian. No, it's much more than that. Your faith will touch everything that you do. In fact, God says, I want to invade all of your life. I want to be a part of all of your life. And even your work, so that you see your work as me having called you to do these things. So that as you work, you bring attention to me by what you do and how you do it. Here's another verse that's interesting, talking about how to look at work from the New Testament. It's Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. The Lord is your boss. Now that is very helpful when you have a boss that is really bad. Because you can say right to him, probably you don't want to do this, but you could say this, you're not my boss. God is. And that'll probably go over really good. But Colossians 3:23 and 24 says this, whatever you do, what does that include? Everything. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Now, be fully engaged with what you do. As working for the Lord, not for men. So, when you look at your work, you say, you know, God put me here. This is what I'm supposed to do with my life, and he has me here. And what I do for him. That changes work. Now what is work? Work is worship. It's a way to worship God, is by working and doing it for him. In verse 24 it says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. There's a couple other verses which I didn't want to cover, none of time, but that talk about that God will reward whatever you do. In fact, you're to do everything for his glory. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. So there's a sense where God doesn't just invade the church building and the Bible study on Wednesday night or the prayer that devotions that you have in the morning, God invades all of your life. And how much do you do, how much do we spend time working? A big part of our life is work. And God says, I'm involved in everything, even your work. I made you for work, and I even chose the path that you should take in work and how you should view work. He's your boss, and what a great boss he is. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the insights we gain. Lord, we pray that we would see work as a blessing. Even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, you bring good out of it because you redeem everything. Everything that we do, you'll reward. Everything that we do, you recognize and bless it because you're behind it. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are in part of every part of our life, even to giving us certain talents and abilities that came from you so that we could do the purpose that you have for us here. You've given us meaning. You've given us purpose. Use us, we pray, to bring honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. We'll see you next week.